Good morning, everyone. Praise God. Oh, come on, guys. You could do a little better than that. ഞങ്ങള് ലേഡീസ് എല്ലാം പാട്ടൊക്കെ പാടി നല്ല ശക്തിയായിട്ട് ഇവിടെ നിൽക്കുക. നിങ്ങൾ ആണുങ്ങൾ അവിടെ ഒരുമാതിരി ഉറക്കം തൂങ്ങിയ പോലെ ഇരിക്കുന്നു. കൈയ്യ്, let's do a little stretching exercise. Let's raise your right hand. Come on with me. Raise your right hand. Raise your left hand. Good job, good job. If you're able to raise your hand, you have to say it with me. Praise God for the Sunday morning. Say it with me. Praise God for the Sunday morning. Praise God that I can breathe.
Praise God that I can breathe.
I can walk, I can talk.
I can walk.
Good job. I think everybody's awake now, right?
Yes.
Okay, good job. Thank you, Varghese Achan, for giving me this opportunity to speak from God's word. Thank you, Chako Achan, for your prayers and presence and all those who are praying for me. We are celebrating today as Sevia Sangam Day, as you already saw that. The woman in the Marthoma Church also shared a spiritual power generated by the Reformation. The Marthoma Suvishesha Sevia Sangam, the women's wing, was inaugurated during the Maraman Convention in the year 1919 under the leadership of Abraham Marthoma, Suffragan Metropolitan. നമ്മൾ ഈ വർഷം മാരാമൺ കൺവെൻഷൻ 100 years സെലിബ്രേറ്റ് ചെയ്ത കാര്യം എല്ലാവർക്കും അറിയാമല്ലോ. അത് യു പ്രോബബ്ലി റിമെമ്പർ ദ സോങ് ദ വി സാങ് റൈറ്റ്? യു ഗൈസ് എനിബഡി റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് സോങ്? നൂറു നൂറു ആയി മറന്നുപോയി. നൂറു നൂറു ഓർത്ത് ആരെങ്കിലും ഓർക്കുന്നുണ്ടോ? നൂറു സ്വപ്നങ്ങൾ നെയ്യാറുണ്ട്, നൂറു നൂറു സ്വപ്നങ്ങൾ ആറുണ്ട്. That was a song. Do you remember that? Okay, I'm not going to bore you right now with singing. Anyway, going on, Mrs. Kandamma Varghese was an integral part of the formation of Sevia Sangam. Every woman of the Marthoma Church above the age of 18 is a Sevia Sangam member. We're going to look at the vision and the mission. Looking at the vision, Hannah, can you guys do that mission? Okay, there you go. The vision first. The vision is gospel is the key when you look at the vision. Suvishesha means gospel. Suvishesha Sevia Sangam aims to nurture, encourage, and equip women to faithfully and fully use their God-given gifts to glorify God. If you look at the mission statement, it is to arrange and organize effectively the work done among the women of our church for the spread of the gospel and extension of the reign of God. Let us continue to pray that God will use the Sevia Sangam to fulfill its vision and mission. Let's pray for all the activities of the Sevia Sangam, especially in our own church, that God will encourage each one of us to get involved in this ministry. നമ്മുടെ സേവ്യ സംഘത്തിനെ പറ്റി ഞാൻ തന്നെ പറയാതെ നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അതിൻ്റെ അവസ്ഥയെപ്പറ്റി അറിയാം. അതിൻ്റെ ആരോഗ്യസ്ഥിതി ഇച്ചിരി മോശമാണ്. വട്ട് ഐം ട്രൈങ് ടു സേ ഇസ് ഐ വാണ്ട് എവറി വൺ ടു ഗെറ്റ് ഇൻവോൾവ്ഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫോർ എവറി വൺ അബവ് 18 ആൻഡ് അപ്പ്. സോ പ്ലീസ് ഗെറ്റ് ഇൻവോൾവ്ഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഞാൻ ഈയിടെ യൂട്യൂബിലൊരു ഇത് കണ്ടു സ്ത്രീ ശക്തിയെപ്പറ്റി. എനിക്ക് തോന്നുന്നു നമ്മൾ നാട്ടിലാണെങ്കിൽ ഇച്ചിരൂടെ സ്ത്രീ ശക്തിയൊക്കെ ആവശ്യമാണെന്നും തോന്നുന്നു. ഇവിടെ ആണെങ്കിൽ അത്രയും ഇവിടെ ആയതുകൊണ്ടായിരിക്കും നമുക്ക് അത്രയും ഒരു ഇതില്ല. അതുകൊണ്ട് മൈ സെറ്റിംഗ് എ സജ് ജോക്ക് മൈ പോയിൻ്റ് ഈസ് ദറ്റ് വി ഷുഡ് ഓൾ ഗെറ്റ് ഇൻവോൾവ്ഡ് സോ ദാറ്റ് വി ക്യാൻ സ്പ്രെഡ് ഗാഡ്സ് വേർഡ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അവർ ഗോൾ. ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ വി പുട്ട് ഓൺ ദിസ് എർത്ത്. The theme for the Sevia Sangam Day, as you probably saw, women, equal participation in the ministry of the kingdom of God. And it is taken from the Gospel of Mark 14:3-9. Women hold an important place in the work of the church. As we see in our own church, they serve in many roles. They have the kind of compassion that drives them to meet the needs of others. They are the one who brings the gifts of love, mercy, and grace when needed. I can go on and on. They also fulfill a vital role in God's kingdom work. We heard about many women from the scripture passages today. From the passage in Judges, we saw that under the leadership of Deborah, God used a courageous, faithful woman named Jael to deliver his people from bondage and oppression. Jael was not a military person. She was not even a Jew. God uses unlikely people and uncommon means to accomplish his purposes and his promises. From the Philippians passage, we saw Paul referring to Euodia and Syntyche as his co-workers for the cause of the gospel. He went on to say that their names were in the book of life. From the Romans passage, Ichu read a good job. I'm not going to try to name those names. They were pretty difficult, but you did a good job, Ichu, naming all the names. You saw that they worked very hard for the Lord. For today's meditation, I want to focus our attention to the theme passage, which we already heard from the gospel reading. It was from Gospel of Mark 14, 3 through 9. And we all know this story pretty well. A woman anointing Jesus. I'm just going to read a few verses. It is displayed for you there. In verse 6, Jesus is saying this. She has done a beautiful thing to me. In verse 8, she did what she could. And then we see that what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Let's pray, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, the creator and sustainer of all things, we have come to give you our worship and our praise because you alone are holy and there is none like you. Thank you for all you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us your word as we meditate on your word. Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Let it be your words. You have promised that your words that goes out will not return empty. Lord, accomplish what you have purposed. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. We pray for Saviour Sangam and all its various activities. We especially pray for our own Saviour Sangam. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at the anointing of Jesus at Bethany, and we're going to see what we can learn from this passage. We can see parallel passages in Matthew and in John. They give us some additional details that is not recorded in Mark. The scene is Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem. The time is before Passover, so we know everyone is in a celebratory mood. What are the Jews celebrating? They are celebrating their freedom from bondage. I'm not going to go into the details. They were slaves in Egypt, and they were freed. And that's God commanded them to celebrate this every year. That's what they are celebrating. This took place shortly after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This was one of the reasons the Jews wanted to kill him. And even Lazarus' life was in danger. In few days, as we know, Jesus would be tried and convicted. Jesus knew about his cross, and he talked about it openly. But his disciples kept on denying it. They didn't believe him. Here when we read on, we see that Jesus goes to a party hosted by Simon the leper. He's known as the leper because at one point he was a leper, and Jesus must have healed him. Jesus goes into his house to enjoy some good food, like we all like to do that, and some good conversation with his friends before he goes to Jerusalem to be crucified. He is surrounded by many people. Some of them loved him, but some were looking for a reason to kill him. As Jesus is reclining at the table along with his disciple, something unusual happens. Can one of you please read Mark 14:3?
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head.
Okay, from this, what we just read, that we don't know the name of the woman. It just said woman. But in John's gospel, her name is Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. We know them very well from different passages. She is the one who anointed Jesus. We're going to examine the depth of Mary's devotion and her worship. Mary's worship of Jesus was costly. We already heard that alabaster jar is pretty costly, and it was mostly used as a decorative piece by kings. What was in the jar? We heard it was nard. It's a perfume, which was even costlier and more precious. Isn't it funny? It is said that nard came from India, and we are talking about it. And it came from the Himalayan mountains, from what I read. Altogether, the jar and the perfume was very expensive. In verse 5, we read that it could have been sold for more than a year's wages. Can you imagine spending this kind of money, a year's worth of wages, on someone? It would be very difficult for me. I'm not sure about you guys. Maybe you guys are better than me, so maybe you will, but of course, okay. We read that she broke the jar and poured it on Jesus. Scripture did not say she took a little bit and rubbed it on Jesus. She broke it, broke the seal. She poured the entire jar on Jesus' feet. Not only she anointed Jesus, she took her hair and she wiped it with her hair. We might do the same as Mary if we knew that was Jesus we are doing it for. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is not physically with us today, but his people are all around us. We can pour our love and kindness onto them. One of you please read Matthew 25:40. Can one of you please read? So Jesus is saying, love shown for those in need is love shown for Christ. Also, we can see in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It is very easy to say, I love God. It is harder to give our best to him. I'm not talking about just money. It's also our time, our talents, giving up our comfort. For me, it is so hard to give up my sleep. I love my sleep, you guys, especially in the morning. I want to get up in the morning before going to work, spend some time with the Lord, but it is a struggle every day. I'm reminded about one of the family that I know. They both were working here. They're my sister's age, younger than, around 40s. Anyway, they both were working people, both had jobs, they had house here. They were called to go to India to minister. So they both quit their jobs, sold the house, they went to India, they're still there. I'm not saying we all have to go to India to minister or go to Africa. That's not what the point is. The point is that giving up when Jesus calls us to give up, what is the best? How are we with our giving? Are we willing to give our very, very best to him? Our sleep, our me time, our TV time. You can fill whatever else you would like here. We can appreciate the value and generosity of Mary's gift to Jesus. Jesus was worth a whole year's salary and more to Mary. What is he worth to you and me? Are we holding back anything from God today? Let's ask ourselves that. Secondly, Mary's worship was selfless and exalting of Jesus Christ. Mary denied herself in the public. She was willing to be ridiculed by others for the Lord. In that culture, only prostitutes were seen with their hair down. After pouring the perfume, she took her hair down and dried Jesus' feet. It was a job of a servant to wash the feet of a guest. Mary took that job of a servant for her Savior. Mary wanted to honor Jesus for raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. Also, she might have realized this was her last chance to show her love and affection to her Lord and Savior before he went to the cross. Mary's focus was on Christ. She did not care what was going on around her. She did not care what people were saying about her. She had only one thing in her mind, is to anoint Jesus. And she achieved what she came to do. How is our worship of Christ? Are we able to worship God, forgetting our own selves? Are we able to stay focused like Mary and not on public opinion or what others might say? Thirdly, Mary's worship brought her to a close relationship with God. We can see from the passage Mary was so in tune to Jesus. Even when Jesus' disciples, they were with him 24/7, they did not recognize Jesus' impending death, but Mary did. Jesus said in verse 8 that she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. This type of anointing was customary for kings before their burial. So according to the passage, we can glean that Mary heard and understood what Jesus said about his impending death. Mary pointed others in the room to Jesus' cross ahead through her anointing. She also recognized Jesus as the king by her preparing his body. We know for sure what Jesus did on the cross for us. We have his written word. So how much more should we be worshiping our Savior for what he has done, what he had to endure for each one of us on the cross? Our close relationship with Jesus should point others to him. Let's ask ourselves, where am I with God? Am I where I should be with the Lord? If not, let us ask the one who freely gives, Lord, I want to walk with you daily. I want to have a close relationship with you. And I want to be in tune with you like Mary. And I'm sure the God who gives, he will fulfill all the desires of your heart. Next, I want to look at Mary's worship. It was intentional and sweet smelling. I don't think anyone told Mary, hey, Mary, I think you should go to your house and get the alabaster jar with the nard, and you should bring it and break it and pour it on Jesus. I don't think anyone said that. It was an expression of her genuine love for Jesus. It came from the bottom of her heart. Our love for God should be genuine. It should be intentional. Not because mom said, I should read the Bible and pray. Not because my husband or my wife said I should go to church. No, it should be out of our love for Christ and what he has done for each of us. When the outer vessel was broken, the inner fragrance came out. In John 12:3, we read, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mary left a sweet aroma in the house by what she did. When we are genuine with God and with others, it leaves a beautiful impression on others. Others would want to know why this aroma is coming from us and why are we different. Let's ask ourselves, what kind of aroma are we leaving for others? Just like the broken jar spread the aroma in the room, God can use broken experiences in our lives to bring glory to his name. I want to share an experience that I went through a few years ago. I went through an emotional turmoil. I was working one day. The next day, I was not able to work and do what I needed to do for my kids and my family. I remember being assigned to give a Mother's Day message in the year 2012. I had prepared everything. It was all ready, but I was not able to deliver it. My friend Sabina, I don't know if she's here, but she came to my rescue. Now, looking back at it, I want to give glory to God for my broken experience and how he delivered me from it. And also for all the lessons he taught me, how frail our life is, that it can be changed in an instant. There's nothing we should be boasting about. There's nothing. Just to stand in front of you today is purely God's grace. Now let's look at the people's response to Mary's worship. One of you, can you please read Mark 14, 4 through 5? ഓക്കെ, നമുക്ക് അന്നും ഇങ്ങനത്തെ പ്രശ്നമുണ്ട്, ഇന്നും ഈ പ്രശ്നമുണ്ട്. നമ്മൾ എന്ത് ചെയ്യാൻ പോയാലും കുറേ ആൾക്കാരുണ്ട് എന്തുവെങ്കിലും പറയാൻ, അല്ലേ? അവർ നമ്മളെയും കൊണ്ട് ചെയ്യിക്കത്തുമില്ല എന്ന് അവരോട് ചെയ്യത്തുമില്ല. അങ്ങനെയുള്ള ആളുകൾ അന്നുമുണ്ട്, ഇന്നുമുണ്ട്. ഫ്രം ജോൺസ് ഗാസ്പൽ വി സീ ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ജൂഡസ് ഹു ടുക്ക് ദ ലീഡർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് ജഡ്ജിങ് മേരീസ് ആക്ഷൻ ആസ് റെക്ലസ് ആൻഡ് വേസ്റ്റ്ഫുൾ. ഇറ്റ് വാസ് നോട്ട് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ഹിസ് ജെനുവിൻ കൺസേൺ ഫോർ ദ പൂർ. If you look in John 12:6, it said that he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. When comparing Judas to Mary, for Judas was his master. Money was his master. പണത്തെ പറ്റി ഞാൻ ഇങ്ങനെ പറഞ്ഞു കേട്ടിട്ടുണ്ട്, വള്ളം ഓടാൻ വെള്ളം വേണം. പക്ഷേ വള്ളത്തിൽ വെള്ളം കയറിയാൽ അതിൻ്റെ സ്ഥിതി ഞാൻ പറയാതെ നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അറിയാമല്ലോ. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ടങ് ട്വിസ്റ്റർ, റൈറ്റ്? ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ബേസിക്കലി യു നീഡ് എ കനു, യു നീഡ് വാട്ടർ ഫോർ എ കനു ടു ഗോ, റൈറ്റ്? ബട്ട് ഇഫ് ദേർ ഇസ് വാട്ടർ ഇൻസൈഡ് ദ കനു, വട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ്? ഇറ്റ് വിൽ സിങ്ക്. യാ. സോ നമ്മുടെ ധനത്തെപ്പറ്റിയുള്ള മനോഭാവം അങ്ങനെ ആയിരിക്കണമെന്നാണ് അത് ഞാൻ കേട്ടത്. ജൂഡസ് ഹിസ് ഗ്രീഡ് ഫോർ മണി കോസ്റ്റ് ഹിം ടു ബിട്രേ ജീസസ്. വി ഓൾ നോ ദാറ്റ്. Here we see Mary's priority was honoring Jesus. For some, Sunday worship may be foolish and wasteful. But for the ones who truly loves Jesus, it is wise and productive. Dear friends, worshiping God is never a waste. Praising God is never a waste. The only productive thing we can do is to worship God. Even though some saw Mary's anointing as a waste, what did she do? She continued pouring the perfume, and she continued to worship Jesus. How many of us can relate to the disciples finding fault in Mary for wasting such an amount? I might do that. I might say, my goodness, Mary, why are you wasting this much? കളയാതെ കുറച്ച് എനിക്ക് കൊടുങ്ങിതരല്ലോ. Do we judge others how they worship? If they are different, they worship differently than us? Do we get irritated by their genuine love and devotion to God and his people? Let's look at Jesus' response to Mary's worship. If one of you can please read Mark 14, 6 through 8. So there are three things Jesus said. The first, he said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. Mary's worship was accepted by God. Mary did it out of perfect love. People blamed her, but Jesus accepted her. It's not on how much you have or how little you have or how big you are. True worship is what we do with what we have. All he asks is that we love him and worship him. This is why he created us, for us to worship him. In Mark 12:44, we know what Jesus said about the widow's offering. What did he say? He said they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So we see that what matters to God is the size of our heart. Our heart attitude is what matters. Our love for Jesus should lead us to actions that would be pleasing to him. Secondly, Jesus said to her, she did what she could. Mary did all she could do for Jesus. She couldn't stop the trials. She couldn't stop the mocking or all the pain. She couldn't stop the cross, but she did what she could, just like Jesus said. She anointed Jesus by pouring out a valuable possession for preparing Jesus for his burial and worshiped him. Can you imagine Jesus saying about you, "She has done a beautiful thing to me. She did what she could for me." What an honor it must have been for Mary when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords spoke on her behalf. Remember, during these times, women were not valued as they are today. And here we see the compassionate Lord coming to her defense. Even today, Jesus intercedes for each of his children. If one of you can please read Romans 8:34. Okay, so I'm just going to read it quickly. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he's also interceding for us. So, dear friends, remember this. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us, so we can approach his throne of grace with confidence. So just keep that in mind. Thirdly, Jesus said, "She will be remembered." In verse 9, it said that, "Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Today, after 2,000 years, we are talking about Mary. Why are we talking about Mary? Because she recognized Jesus as the Messiah, her Lord and Savior. She realized he is the King of Kings. This morning, have you recognized who Jesus is? Is he the King and Lord of our lives? If so, we cannot help but worship God like Mary. Even when others were criticizing Mary, she continued to worship Jesus. Let us be devoted and worship God like Mary, giving our very best to him without any reservation. Let us worship him selflessly in everything we do. Let us remember to exalt his name. Let our worship bring us closer to him each day. Let our worship be intentional and sweet-smelling. Let others see him in us, so that our worship can be accepted by our Lord, just as Mary's was. I leave us with the reminder from Apostle Paul in Romans 12:1. It said that, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Thank you.